stuff.
Oh, God's good. Oh, thank you, Lord. You need to know today that God's a God of hope, and you came out on a very sunny but a pretty snowy morning, and look how many people come to worship God because we want to give Him our hearts. He's done so much for us, amen? He's been so faithful. He's been so good. We just need to praise God. If we don't praise God, the psalmist says the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out. We just bless the Lord, and it's good to be here because God is here, and the power of the Lord is in this place, and He's going to keep moving. Just pray with me. God, we invite You to just have Your way, and Lord, I pray that we won't get disturbed by distractions, that we will just focus on You, God. We know there's all kinds of things that could happen here today. We just want You to have control and to do what You would do today, Lord. You are a mighty God. And we pray that You will lead us and that You'll show us today, even especially, Lord, anyone who's here who is questioning or who's wondering whether You're real. Is this really You? God, show them. You are God of revelation. You are God who says, look, here I am. So show us today that You are the living, risen Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Louise is going to lead us today, or share, I should say. Listen, sharing, so amen, sister. Here you go. First of all, God bless you.
Lord bless you.
You got to talk right into it, okay? Right into it.
Oh, voila, voila. Okay, praise God. Okay, I'm just going to say a little word like, Lord, please. May everything that I have to say to You will be used for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can you tell I'm nervous? My voice is shaky. I have myocarditis, but I will get over that. Okay. I was thinking, like, what am I going to talk about? Like, my life story, but, like, that's almost like 60 years. And how much time do I have? So I thought I'd just break it down and let you know that I was way, way back before time, even before myself, because that's what the Lord told me. So I'm not going to even go that far back. And but I was born in Grand Prairie in 1956. But I never lived there because I became a product of a broken home. And I was the baby in the family, and for many years I thought that I broke up my family because my parents couldn't handle me and that they took off but what it was the wages of sin is death. And they actually chose alcohol over our family. And so then I was like just a baby when they left. First, my mom left, and I have a brother who's 6 years older than I am. Went to look for him. I went to stay with me and with actual family up in Valley View area. And but what happened was that my dad went to look for my mom and saw neither hide nor hair of them after that. And so I never knew my parents. And at that time. And then we, excuse me. Let's see, where am I going here? Then you became a ward of the court. And I was put in guard mission by the RCMP, and they had charged my father with abandoning us and all that. And then I lived there for like 4 years up in Gruard Mission. And then we went to my first foster home when I was four. And that was in St. Paul, so je parle français un petit peu. I used to speak fluent French until I left there. But I've lost it, after that many years. But I just love the French language, and I know it's part of my heritage too. So, because apparently some grandparents were French. So, like Martineau, that's a French name. That's my mother's maiden name. And, that's just taking way too long. And then I just grew up and went through the foster home system. And actually, Joycelyn isn't here. Joycelyn's grandmother eventually became one of my foster parents. And yeah, praise God, because we went to a Sunnyside Pentecostal camp out here. And I was like 10, 12. And every summer we'd go back there and get saved again. Yeah. But, you know how that is, eh? I just go back to camp. But, and then I grew up here in Red Deer, so I've been here like, I had the same doctor for like a million years, from the time I was 10, 12 till actually he just retired, Dr. Thiessen. He was there when he delivered my one and only grandson. And awesome. So this is kind of like my roots here in Red Deer. But I've been involved I actually eventually did go. Because I slid away from the Lord, walked away from Him and His goodness, and thought I could do it on my own, And then I went to actually Christian Faith Assembly. I don't know if anybody with Pastor Pat and Patty Guerra. Yeah, and they went, they were in the Capri, because I used to live in the Frizzell's Trail Court. I don't know if they call it that anymore, but right behind the Capri there. And Kathy Weber used to come and pick me up all the time, and then we went there, and I followed the Lord, and I met Alvin and Kathy Rainville there, and watched them and their children grow, and my kids were the same age, and then and I'm only 25 then. No, I'm kidding. Okay. And but I got involved with the music ministry there, and it was great. It was good. And then there was a part of me that just I don't know what it was, but they always, always doing what the Lord wanted me to. I was doing quite a bit. If you remember all the stuff that we'd be involved with, and I go, yeah, okay, I'm doing the Lord's work, doing. But what does Louise want? Who is Louise, and why am I here, doing all this stuff? And so I walked away again, and I walked away for many years and had two more children, because by then I had two then. And then, excuse me, but I always kind of kept the Lord in my heart and in my head, and I knew that He was around, because there's been many times where I could have just went, under the ice and, and there's would have been dead, because I got involved in drinking, but I never did drugs. That never occurred to me, because I figured I'm a chemical. If I put more chemicals in it, don't you get fizzies and stuff? So it just never appealed to me to do drugs. So praise God for that, And then, yeah, amen. And then, but I was smoking and drinking. S-E-X. Yeah. So I hate to put it out there like that, but the only difference between me and one of the street girls, and I didn't charge anybody. Yeah. So I kind of figured that they were smarter than me. But anyway, the Lord delivered me from, helped me through a lot of things. And then I said, oh, okay. I met this guy, 92. Then we ended up going out together, and he was part of that thing. And I figured, oh, we'll be together forever, because then I got pregnant. And I said, we'll be together forever. So I decided, we'll marry. And he's I'd had no idea about FAS and the devastation it has on a person. And I thought he loved me, but that was just part of his symptoms and everything, that he just clung to me. And of course, he clung to me, and I clung to him, because I was a giver, and he wanted a mom. And mind you, he's 11 years younger than I am. But we had three more kids, the ones that you all know, Rain, Riley, and Cheyenne. And we got married in 99. And then it was about 2006, I actually lost my kids through gambling, actually what happened is I got charged with possession, crack cocaine, which I said I never did, but they had lowered it from trafficking, because they wanted to put me in jail, to possession. So I went with the possession charge, because I didn't want to leave my kids abandoned. And so I've had that record, but I've never ever done any drugs. And so then they gave me $1,000 fine. And so I kept putting it off, and I had like a year to pay it. But dang dummy here, gambling all the time. By this time, I was really involved in the gambling. And I never paid it. And then they decided to check my license one day, and they realized that, oh, you have a warrant for your arrest, because you haven't paid your fine. So I knew this was going to happen, so I had made arrangements for my kids to be with a babysitter until I did my time. But what happened was that welfare and my daughter and everybody came swooping in and took my kids. We lived in Peace River then. Took my kids and brought them to Red Deer. And when I got out of jail, because I still had $900 left to pay, they had my kid. What was I going to say? I lost my train there. But they were gone. And I still wasn't, I was really devastated that they were gone. And then I came back here finally, eventually, in 2008. And then 2009, I decided, this is it. Because I was still gambling. And I figured, it's not that bad. Meanwhile, because I'd gotten my kids back, but I thought I'm not that bad. Like, I'm still playing a quarter at I'm only playing a quarter at a time. I can't be that bad. Meanwhile, I'm homeless. My kids are going to get taken away again. Actually, my one daughter was put in foster care. I ended up living over at Kim and Richard's, and I'm sitting there and going, it's not that bad. And that's how much I was enveloped in the wages of sin is death, you know? And I have no qualms about what happened with my dad. That's their own thing. But me, I have to make amends I don't have to make amends, because it's forgiven. I've been wiped clean. I am clean. I stand before you clean, and only by the blood of Jesus, you know. And so then I went to treatment, and I have been delivered from gambling, from drinking, and as of January 1st last year, I'm smoking. And I said, Lord, I said, like this smoking thing, I said, I'm tired of trying to roll butts, you know, or looking for, because I wouldn't smoke the butts off the ground, but should tolerate maybe one cigarette, you know. But the hounding for chasing after that want. And I said, I don't want this anymore. And I don't want to spend $10 a day, you know, because that's $300 a month. So I said, Lord, I'm tired of fighting with that craving and that desire. And I said, I just gave it to him. I just said, take it away and please do your thing. I know you can. That I know you can. And he did. He took that craving. If you seek him, he will deliver you from that. He will. I promise. Well, God promises. You know, so now I'm still fighting with stuff with the kids now. But at least I know there's hope, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you. Oh yeah.
You heard that there's hope, right? Yeah. And that's a long, you're not that old. You're not much older than I am. So.
Okay.
But it's a story, you know. We've all got a story, every one of us. It's not the same story. We have our own story.
Amen.
But it's a story of redemption. That's what I love about Louise's story. It's a story about how God always had his hand on you.
Oh.
You had God's fingerprint in your life from the very beginning.
Amen.
And that he brings you back. He doesn't let you go.
Yeah.
And there's someone here today, at least one, maybe more, just need to hear that. God hasn't given up on you.
Amen.
God still believes in you, even though you might not believe in him. And he's still going to seek after you, and he wants to bring you to the same place that he brought Louise. And I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about a place where there's freedom, a place where there's real hope,
yeah.
A place where the tragic past is now a story that we celebrate and is now a testimony of how good God is.
Amen.
So know this today, that the same God who saved her is the same God who wants to deliver you and save you. And he says in the Psalms that I want to lift you out of the pit. There's a slimy pit. It's not just a pit. A pit might be not that bad, but a slimy pit, you know, a pit is bad enough. But he says, I want to lift you up. I want to reach down, and I want to deliver you from that slimy pit.
Amen.
It's a good word, right?
Amen.
Will you pray for me?
Oh, okay. Our Lord and precious Heavenly Father, we come before you now, Lord. I just ask that you would come against the darkness, Lord God, and everybody that wants to envelop us, Lord God, and that you would break those ties of darkness, Lord God, and set our people free, yes, Lord God. Jesus. In the precious Hallelujah. Name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lord. Isn't that great that he's alive and that he does that? That he's still working in the same way that he did thousands of years ago. God is still a Savior God. He's still, you know, used to be called the Redeemer of Israel, and now he's the Redeemer of all who will believe. Everyone who will confess that Jesus is Lord is saved, the word says. So thank you, God. We're going to just listen to God's word this morning. And thank you, God. Just have your way, Father. Thank you, God. Yeah, he does. Thank you, God. I want you to pray for the leadership of our church before I read this and get into this. Just, we are, we're praying hard. We're working hard. We've had lots of meetings just because we're seeking God, and it hasn't been easy because we know that God is leading us in directions that takes faith. We need to put our faith down, and it's easier to do stuff that doesn't take faith. So I would ask you to remember us. We're believing that God is leading us in some directions that really demand faith. For the money, for the personnel, for whatever, we think that he's leading us
to open up another home, this time a home for women, like Lazarus House, but I think they're going to call it Esther House. So we want to step out on that. He also is leading us. We know that he wants us to move more in a direction of more downtown street ministry among the native population. And we're working with Alvin in that regard and waiting for God to open those doors because we feel that Alvin has that call on his life. So I'm just going to lay a few things out there. I wasn't planning on this, but I'm just going to do that. Please pray about that. We're going to see some changes at the Solid Ground Cafe, some changes in personnel, some changes in direction, some new fresh ideas and approaches. And again, there's costs involved in that, but we believe that God wants us to do these things, and so we're going to go ahead and do it. We're just going to trust God for it. And that doesn't mean we're doing it recklessly. We're doing it with great thought and with great prayer, and we're counting the cost of it, but we know that we need to have faith, so that no matter what, we just have to trust him and that he's going to provide for us. And that it doesn't matter, and let me just say this loud and clear, that if something fails, it's not a failure. You know, we need to have the ability to let some things fall down and they're not going to work. Some things are going to work. We need to be able to, even with you as a body, you need to be able to back up sometimes and say, okay, maybe that wasn't exactly what God wanted, but we're going to go again. And God is always faithful. And that not everything is a resounding success maybe in our eyes, but how he measures success is different than how we might measure success. And more than anything, I'm just saying pray for us. Pray for us. We're trying to lead. We're trying to really walk in faith. We've done a lot of work. I'm just going to add this thing to try to make this place a safe place, particularly for our children. And some of you maybe know that now. We have a long 50, 60, 70 page thing about what it takes to run a nursery and a Sunday school and how we make sure that our children are safe. And I'll be honest with you, at first when we started doing this, and it's been a lot of work, especially for Len and Hilly, they've just done tons of work on this. When we first started doing it, we thought, oh man, this is just so much work, and we're doing it so that, you know, who knows why we're doing it. Every other church has to do it. We do it so that, you know, we don't get sued, maybe. That's not the reason why we're doing it anymore. Maybe that's where it started. We're doing that because this place needs to be the safest place for our children. Absolutely. There is absolutely nothing more important than our children are going to be safe here. And it isn't just our church, but the reality is, if you start looking and reading statistics, the church is one of the least safe places for little kids, because people who are predators or who are into that sin, they'll go to church sometimes and they'll become a hero, they'll become important, and they'll take on a position, and it's an easy place for the vulnerable to get abused. So we need to know that, we need to understand it, and you need to have your eyes open. All of you do. You need to watch. We need to be watching what's going on around here. This can be a dangerous place even by the very nature of the ministry that we have. And we need to be completely 100% committed that this is going to be a safe place for our young kids, for our teenage girls and boys, for the children that are in the nursery and the Sunday school. It's going to be a safe place. So if you are bringing your kids to the nursery and someone says you need to sign them in, you need to sign them out, or here's the tag you got to put on them, or you can't just pick them up, or you can't send somebody just to go get your kids anymore, you know what you got to do? You got to go praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this inconvenience, because my daughter, my little baby is safe, and they're taking good care of her. So pray about that, all right? Pray about that. Pray for the leadership. Pray that God shows us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Pray that we have his heart, because it's the most important thing, is that our heart beats with his heartbeat and that we're faithful to him. Truly, God has been faithful to us. Just look around. Can you imagine what God's done? Can you even believe it? God has been so good. He's changed so many lives. He's brought people out of the pit, out of their addictions, out of their broken marriages. He's given people homes, right, Joey? Yeah, he's given people homes. He's establishing people. Thank you, Lord. And together we just cry out to God, God, have your way. Do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. Find us obedient today, God. Find us obedient. Find us children, sons and daughters that are just ready to serve you. We don't want glory. We don't need our names anywhere. You can take the names off of it, Lord. None of the glory goes to us, but to you, God, your glory and to your name and to the praise of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns preeminent. Whether we acknowledge it or not, he reigns preeminent. This is his world. We worship Him. So pray for us. John chapter 21, we're going to read that today. As I say often, we need to hear God's Word. And thank You, Lord, for giving us Your Word. Thank You that we read it, and we know, you know, there's beyond a shadow of doubt, this is truth. This is truth. John 21. Last week we talked about the question that Jesus had for Peter. You know, He said, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" And He said it how many times?
Three times.
"Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" And Peter goes, "You know, Lord, yes, I love You. I love You, Lord." And we ask that question. Do we really love Jesus? It's maybe the most important question. It's the question that John ends the Gospel of John with. Do you really love Me? Do you really love Me? Do you really love Me? Do you love Me with all of your heart? And if you do, John 15 says, you will keep My commandments. So if you want to know the answer to the question, do you really love God, it has to do with obedience. I want to start there. So I guess not John 21, John 15. And just reading verse 21 of John 14. John 14, verse 21 is going to just get us back to where we were last week. Verse 21, whoever has My commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves Me. Did you get that? You obey His commands, you love Him. He who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love him and show Myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do You intend to show Yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, and here it goes again. He's just repeating what He said before. "If anyone loves Me, he will obey My teaching. Period. My Father will love him, and He will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love Me will not obey My teaching. These words you hear are not My own. They belong to the Father who sent Me." Can you say amen? Okay, now John 21. This is the story of what happened. We're doing things a little backwards, and that won't surprise you. We do more things backwards around here sometimes. But so the pastor is preaching now about what happened before Peter three times said, "I love You." Here's what happened, the story of the miraculous fish catch. I always loved this story ever since I was a little kid. So John 21, afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples. This is now He's resurrected, and this is the third time that He appears to the disciples. He appeared to them by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. They said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then a disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, this is John, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed into the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. In fact, someone actually counted them. 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn, and Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew, get this, they knew that it was the Lord. And Jesus came, and he took the bread, and he gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Do you love Jesus? The answer to that question is yes, but if you want the proof of it, you see it in how you live. We see it in how we keep or don't keep his commandments. We see it how we respond to his demand of us to be faithful, and whether we do it or we don't do it. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. Do you think that Jesus knew prior to asking Peter the questions, do you think that Jesus knew that Peter loved him? Yeah, he did. And we know that for a bunch of reasons. One is that he's God. That helped a lot. Being God, he knew everything. He knew he's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew that really deep down, Peter was a disciple who loved Jesus, even though he was flawed and broken and made all kinds of assertions and he was proud sometimes. But he knew, Jesus knew that Peter really loved him. And Peter even said that, right? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, right? So we know that Jesus knew that. Jesus understood that Peter loved him, but we know it for another reason too, and we see that reason in the prior story that we just read about the putting the nets on the other side of the boat. We know it because Peter and the other disciples who were there were obedient. And remember, this is a key phrase, that when we're obedient, we're showing that we love Jesus. So even before Jesus asked Peter those questions, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He knew that Peter loved him because Peter had been obedient, right? Peter had done what Jesus asked him to do. He and the other disciples were fishing. And Jesus from the shore said, why don't you try throwing the net on the other side of the boat? And they had been obedient to that. They showed that they loved him. I want you to imagine and think with me this morning about how hard that must have been to be an experienced, seasoned fisherman, to be fishing all night long. You know, you're good at this. This is your job. This is your occupation. You're fishing all night long and you haven't caught a fish. Haven't been very successful. And you're frustrated, right? You're frustrated. I mean, it's interesting. These guys go back to fishing. They find their old boats or however. They're fishing again out there. And it must have been, to me, incredibly maddening to hear this guy on the shore say, hey, you haven't caught any fish, have you? And remember that they didn't know that that was Jesus at the time. Okay, now just bear with me. Just imagine that you're in the boat with your friends and you're trolling along and you got the big net on the right side of the boat and some yahoo from the beach yells out at you about 100 yards away and actually literally, what he says literally in the Greek language is, he says, you haven't caught any fish, have you? The way it's put in our Bible, it's a little nicer. But the way he's really not phrasing it in a nice way. He's almost saying, I bet you haven't caught any fish. Now you got to imagine, these guys are in the boat and they've been working all night and they haven't had any success. And then this voice from the beach says, why don't you try to throw your net on the other side of the boat? You see, understand, if we were mariners, if we were fishermen, we would all understand that that is an absolutely ridiculous suggestion. Because a boat is not a car. A car will stay stagnant, but if you're in a boat, you know, the boat moves with the wind and the boat moves around. It's going in circles. So let's face it, putting that net on the other side of the boat was a ridiculous suggestion. It would make no difference whatsoever if the net is here or if the net is here. We are not stagnant. We are not anchored here. We are going around in circles. And you want us to put the net on the other side of the boat. Besides that, it's hard to do. You know, we're sitting in the boat with three or four guys. We've got to put the net. Start, grab the net, guys. Imagine it. Let's pull the net up. We're going to put it on the other side of the boat. Well, this net is slimy and it's wet and we're trying to pick it up and it's like 80 feet long and it's heavy. Why don't you put the net on the other side of the boat? Why don't you... Mind your own business. Thank you. Who asked you? Who asked you? We are fishermen. You don't tell us what to do. You know, have you ever had it where you think you really know something? You're an expert in something. Maybe you've had some training or some schooling in something. And someone comes up to you and says, you know, I've got a couple suggestions if you don't mind. Well, I do mind. Thank you. I do mind. And I happen to think I know how to do this. Right? So how hard it must have been for those disciples to do exactly what that stranger's voice said. And so they took the net and they put it on the other side of the boat. And you know what happened? Suddenly there were so many fish in the boat that they couldn't even haul it in. They had to drag it to shore. It's about, you get this? It's about obedience. That God calls us to obey Him no matter what. That God says, I want you to do what I tell you to do, even if it doesn't make any sense to you, or even if you think you're smarter than me, or if you think you've got more experience than me, I want you just to do what I say do, and go when I say go. That it's about just simply saying, yes, Lord. I will obey you. I will submit to you. As hard as this is, and sometimes it feels like you're not even with me. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. It's about obedience, and I think we all know how hard obedience is, and yet obedience is really the proof of whether we belong to Jesus Christ and whether we love Him with all of our hearts. Now, you might say today, yeah, but hold on, Pastor. They didn't know that it was even Jesus' voice. So how can you say that they were being obedient to Him? I mean, yeah, they put the net on the other side of the boat, but they didn't know it was Jesus. And I want to answer that question. I think that's actually what the whole point of this story is that, oh, yeah, they were being obedient, because here's the deal. God very seldom comes to us and stands right before us and speaks in an audible voice. Now, that may have happened to some of you, but that's not the way God normally speaks to us. As a matter of fact, God normally speaks to us through a third party. And I want to try to explain that. You know, I think it's partly because of God's amazing, awesome holiness that He doesn't just stand before us and say, hey, put the net on the other side. Usually, God works throughout the Scriptures through a third person or a third party. And He says, here's the message. And He gives that message to a prophet, or He gives that message to an angel, or He gives that message to a child, or in Balaam's case, He gives that message to a donkey. And He says, I'm going to speak through the donkey. I'm going to speak through the prophet. I'm going to speak through a dream, maybe. But He doesn't just come to us directly one-on-one. Most of the time, God's mode of operation is that He speaks through someone or something else. And so what I think is fascinating in this story is that these disciples, probably because they've been calling out on God and they were in a time of transition. Just imagine what it was like, right? They'd seen Jesus alive and they were no doubt praying and going, what's going to happen here? What's going on? How long are we going to have Jesus? They're probably in this time of real praying and really seeking God, that they were open enough to God that when that guy on the beach started speaking, they entertained the idea that could be God. Sometimes God speaks to us in unusual ways, right? And sometimes God speaks through unusual people. He might speak, you know, and we're praying sometimes to God, or you do that, you want an answer to a prayer, you've been pleading with God, you're imploring Him, just like no doubt the disciples were. You know, I think that they were ready to listen to, they're ready to check it out, I guess. They're ready to be open and say, could this be the voice of God? Are we the same? Are you prepared that God might speak to you through a way that's unconventional? Are you prepared that He might speak through someone that you think, you know, has got no credibility to even speak to you? Or isn't it the case that we have such a preconceived idea of how God's going to speak, that if He speaks in any other way, we don't hear it? You following that? Let me say that again. That we get such an... I know how God speaks. I read the Bible. I know He speaks through the Bible. You know? And if I don't hear from God, you know, through the Bible or through my pastor or through the guy who leads my Bible study, you know, the conventional, normal ways, I'll accept that. But what if God chooses to speak to you through a way that you're not even considering a possibility? God, so I guess the question, what I'm saying is we got to be careful not to be too quick to tell that guy on the beach to shut his pie hole. right? Because God might be speaking through him. God might be speaking through your enemy or through someone that you don't get along with. God might be. God might be speaking through a little child who comes up to you or through a song that you hear on the radio. God can speak through a donkey. He can speak through Paul. I mean that in the best possible way. Right? He can. So are we, the question really is today is, are we really listening to the voice of God? Are we trying to hear God's voice? Are we open to the idea that God might speak to us through a way that's completely unconventional, a way we might not expect at all, that you might just be surprised if you're listening once and you find that God is saying an answer to a prayer or something that you really are seeking God for, and you go, oh, I got that answer, but it didn't come where I thought it would come from. Right? Are we really listening to God's voice? Are we prepared to stand and say, God, I want an answer to this prayer, and I'm standing on your promises, and I want to know what your answer is. I want to know what your will is or what your desire is in my life, and I'm prepared to hear that answer wherever you choose to answer it for me. Are we? Because I think, you know, that's what obedience is. Obedience is when we just come to God and we say, God, I'm not going to dictate anymore how you're going to have to do this. I'm not going to tell you. You are the master of the universe. I'm not going to tell you how to run the show. It's your show. Right? Like I read this week, a guy saying, you know, when you have your own universe, when you have your own universe, you can make up your own rules. But as long as it's God's universe, he gets to make up his own rules, right? Just listen. Don't be distracted. Don't let any of that bother you. God is here and he's speaking. He's saying, you need to listen to my voice. You need to know that I have a purpose for you. And it's about our obedience. Are you willing to submit to me? Are you willing to do even what might seem to be ridiculous and make no sense to you from a human point of view? Yeah, I know. But now I gotta add something. So, you know, people who are really interested in the prophetic, they're going, yeah, this is good. And we're not all the same here. I have every intention of offending all of you. Not just a few. But I'm saying, for those of you who are really interested in the prophetic, and I am too, you know, it's a wonderful thing that God can speak to us through lots of different ways. Lots of different ways. And God is such a marvelous God. We need to be open to listen to everything that he has to say to us. We need to be ready to receive it from wherever it comes. But there's also a warning involved. And the warning is that we need to be absolutely sure that what we hear is the voice of God. And I think it's absolutely telling that when we read this story, that they hear the guy on the beach, and that almost, you know, we don't know who it is right off the bat, but almost immediately after that, it's John who says, it's the Lord. Man, we need that. We need someone next to us saying, it's the Lord, right? That the prophetic word always needs to reveal Jesus Christ, and the prophetic word always needs to be for the glory of God and for no other reason. We are glorifying God. That is why there's a prophetic word, or why someone might have an utterance. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that prophetic word should be to encourage or to edify or to comfort the body. That's what the purpose of this is. But we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful that what we're uttering, or even how we're praying for people, that this is really the Lord. It's the Lord, they said. This is the Lord. And truly, we need each other to verify that. The disciples looked at each other in the boat, right? And John said to Peter, it's the Lord. And the rest of them no doubt went like this. It's the Lord. That's the voice we know, right? We didn't recognize it at first, but it's the Lord. We need that. We need to know that what's being said, and that includes what I'm saying or what I'm preaching or when someone's speaking, this needs to be the Lord. God has given you his Holy Spirit. He hasn't only given the Holy Spirit to me or to Mitch or to Barb. God's given us all the Holy Spirit so we can be discerning, so we can ask the question, is this really the Lord? Is this true? Is this the truth? Is this prophetic word encouraging and comforting and edifying? We need to take that seriously. There's a growing tendency in the church today to hear people make declarations. They're declaring things left and right. I think that there's some good things about that. We should declare what we know to be true. I declare that God is a faithful God. I have no problem with that. I don't think any of us do. Yeah. I declare that God, you know, you can be praying for someone and you can say, I declare that God loves you and I know that He loves you and I know that because you've given your life to Jesus Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I make that declaration. That is a proper and a right declaration, and you can make that without any hesitation. You can declare the very nature of God. You can talk about who God is, that He is all-powerful, that God is everywhere. God never abandons you, Joyce. Never. I can declare that. We can make declarations about the promises of God in the Scriptures. God will never leave you, Norma. He won't. You can. Anything else might happen, but God, He'll never leave you. Or Margarita, God is your healer, and He's your mom's healer too, and I heard about her leg breaking, and that you might be going there. God's not abandoning her, and God's not letting you down. God is faithful. You see, we can make those declarations. And here's where I'm going to be offensive to some people. Maybe not. But we need to be entirely careful about when we make a declaration that is a revelation that is apart, that stands apart from God's Word. And I'm not saying that we don't ever do that, but we need to be absolutely careful that we are right on, and that needs to be confirmed by other members in the body when that happens. For example, and I actually heard this actually happening, someone comes up to you and prays over you and says, I know you don't have a vehicle, God wants to give you a vehicle, and I declare today that the first blue Toyota that you see is yours. You ought to be careful and maybe get that checked out by a couple of people, or you might be charged with car theft. Or someone declares that you no longer have diabetes. They make that declaration and they're positive about it. You know what? That could happen. I'm trying to be honest here. I'm trying to be as open as I can. That can happen. God heals. God can do amazing things, and I'm not saying that God can't, but we ought to know that that is a revelation that stands apart from what we know to be absolutely true in the Scriptures, and it needs to be confirmed, it needs to be checked out, and we need to be careful. And you who are prophets, be careful that you're not just saying what people want to hear. It is maybe the biggest danger of those who walk in the prophetic. We want people to be happy. We want to tell them that they're going to get this, or this is going to get better, or this is going to happen. And make sure that you hear from God. Make very sure that you're hearing from God before you make a declaration that is unwarranted. Because this is true. A prophet is proven right by his prophecy. Right? And if you've got a track record, I'm sorry to tell you this, if you've got a track record where your prophetic utterances aren't true, you are not a prophet. You are not. You might be 100 other things, but that's not the gift God gave you. So it's about listening to God. Are we really hearing God's voice? Are we willing to hear God's voice from whatever dark corner, from whatever place He decides to speak? You know, I can tell you, in my life, sometimes I have heard from God from someone I didn't even want to hear hello from. You know, sometimes God chooses that for a very distinct purpose. Are you ready to listen to the voice of God and not have preconceived expectations of where that voice is going to come from, but just simply stand before God and say, Lord God, I want to be your obedient servant. I'm ready to listen, so speak. Let me know, God. And this is particularly true for those of you who have really been praying out to God. And I know there's some of you that have been doing that, just really praying. You really need an answer to something. You're just crying out You're praying hard. God, show me. Show me. I want you to know this, that God is showing you. God is giving you. God is giving you the answer that you are crying out for. You just need to listen to the source of where it's coming from, because it's coming from somewhere where you might not expect. And at the same time, we need to be careful that what we speak together and how we build the body and as we deal with new believers, that we do that carefully and honestly. That we don't just declare things that really are not based or not warranted, or more importantly, that are not from God. If it's from God, it'll be confirmed. Because here's what the Word says to us today. It says that when they didn't know who Jesus was, it wasn't very long before they were crying out, "It's the Lord! It's the Lord! It's the Lord!" And that's what needs to happen. If you're going to pray over me and you're going to have a word for me, I need to know that it's from the Lord. And I hear it, and I know who you are. That helps a lot. It makes a big difference. I know that you walk in the Lord. I know that you're a man filled with God's Spirit. And I'm not just talking to you two. I'm talking to all of us. But there's a confirmation. God confirms His Word. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Thank you, Lord. So here is what I know to be true today. This is absolutely, unequivocally true. And it's God's Word for you. And it is authentic. And here it is. God says to you today, and He says to me, obey me. Just obey me. Just do what I ask you to do. Just live as I've told you to live. Just go when I've told you to go. Just be obedient. And I will know that you love me by the way you obey me. There's someone who came to one of our meetings a couple of weeks ago, and he was not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He was under some other influence. And he sat with us, and we prayed together. And I love that, because there's always hope, and God's always a God of new beginnings, and we're always praying and trusting that God's going to, when God is ready, and when this individual is ready to really turn his life over to God, that change is really going to happen. But he said that night, he said, "I love Jesus, you know. I love Jesus. And I know that," man, this is a hard teaching. I'm sorry about this, but I know that we want to believe that. I know that maybe even to some degree that's true, but it really isn't true. Because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what the Bible says. So we see either one of these two things are true. Either what Jesus says is true, or what this fellow says is true. And sometimes, just because we say, "I love Jesus," it's only true if we're living it out. And I know that's a hard teaching, and I know that we don't want to believe that. We want to just push that away and say, "No, they love Jesus. Everyone loves Jesus. It doesn't matter how we live," but it does matter. It does matter. Yeah. And I'm not saying we have to be perfect. We can't. You know, we're not perfect, although we are essentially perfect because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's still going to be struggles, and there's still going to be issues in our lives, and there might be addictions that we fight, and there might be pornography that we know we got to keep turning that thing off. But we don't give up the fight. We fight it. We stand against it. We stand against it. We say, "Lord, I want to be obedient. And I know that I failed, but it isn't good enough. I can't just say, 'I love Jesus.' I love Jesus, and therefore everything's fine and dandy," because it is not. So here's the Word of God. Obey me. Bow your heads a minute. Just I want you to bow your heads, because I want you to think about what God is saying right, especially to you today. How does Jesus, how is He asking you to be obedient? Just, and no one talk. Just think about this. Just let this absorb. Thank you, God. Father, just right now, in this moment, in this little quiet time we have, speak deep into our hearts, and we want to listen to what you want us to do? What have you been wanting us to be obedient about, God? Some of us know the answer to that question, and others have, we've been just filling our minds with a lot of noise, and we need this quietness. So, speak, God. How should we be obedient, God? Thank you, Jesus. What do you want, Lord? What do you want of me? How do you want me to live? What, Lord, do I bring to the altar today and give up? What does obedience really mean? Thank you, Jesus. God, I'm so, just listen to the quiet. And if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. Thank you, God, because there's been turmoil and the enemy's been trying to stir things up because he does not want us to hear this. Thank you for quiet, God. Let your still small voice just speak now. And I know what you want, Lord. I know what your word says. You want us to be obedient. You want us to trust you and to do what you tell us, Lord. Convict us of the things that need to change and encourage us, Lord, even with this prophetic word that we heard today, because it is a prophetic word. Encourage us to follow you as closely as we can, God. Lord, there's some here that you want to send out. There's some that you want to begin a ministry through, or I don't know, God, you do. There's things that you want us to do to be active and to be part of the body and to use the gifts that you give us, God. Just want to listen to you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. This is so amazing that this word comes out because God has been speaking to me loud and clear, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.
Thank you, God.
And the scripture was given to me years ago, and I said, God, I can't. They gave me this flag, and I hang it upside down, inside out. I don't know how to be faithful unto death, but through the years, somehow when you work that in you, and you know that God speaks to you, he will also make a way that you can. And so this week I was faced with certain things and I said, God, I don't know, what do I do? Be ye faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.
Thank you, Jesus. Good word. Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you, God. Jesus. Make us obedient. Go ahead, Paul.
I just want to confess that I've had a real hard time with blocking people in spirituality and, you know, with the crying and the shaking and all that stuff. I'm not saying that it's not true for me. I just have a hard time believing it. But the one thing that I'm able to do is because I don't understand my gift, but I know I've been given a gift of music. And if I don't give it back to him, that gift is of no use. That gift is of no use to him if I give it to anyone else but him.
Good.
So I just ask, I don't understand, but I imagine that the other gifts work in the same way. They're all meant for his glory.
For his glory, that's right.
They're meant to save his people.
That's right. And we're not all the same. Thank you, God. Yeah. Yes, sister.
I
Yep.
But if we don't understand what God's saying as a little child, we will never.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and it's just a minute. You know, the Bible says that we should not treat prophecy with contempt. So we need to be open to it and understand that it's one of the ways that God works and speaks. And, you know, it's maybe we don't all understand it, and maybe we don't all have that gift. But I like what you said about it needs to come to us, and we need to hear it through that child and hear how God is working in our lives. Yeah, Lorraine, can you stand? You don't talk yet, okay? Because it's so important that I know that this is awkward and takes a little more time, but everyone needs to hear. If we don't hear it, then even the Bible says it's just confusing. So
it's really neat that John was the one that said it is the Lord, because he was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast and just stayed so close to him. So that's a key, that if you stay really close to the Lord, you'll know it's his voice.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thanks, Dwayne. I know that there's lots of hands up. I'm trying to be discerning. So if I'm not picking you, it's not because I don't like you. I'm just trying to listen to God and say, okay. You know, and particularly about obedience. About obedience. And I just ask that question, you know, is there something that God has been challenging you with on obedience? Thank you, God. Yeah, Rick? Hi, Brian. Yeah? I know you do. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're part of the body, man. And I know that God really loves you, Brian. He does. Go ahead, Rick.
Before I started coming to church, Kim used to always tell me that God would talk to her and tell her things, and I used to think, yeah, right, God's talking to you. And when I started going to church, I was really on fire for God and close to God and reading my Bible. It's weird. We had a lady stay with us, and she was telling me she had a dream that the devil was going to take her baby away. And I prayed with her, and I said, no, there's no way God would let that happen, that your baby would, like, she was pregnant. And so I went to work the next day, and I came back, and she had a miscarriage. And I was like, wow, what am I going to say to her now? So I went, it's funny, I really hear God's voice in the shower. So I went and prayed in the shower. I was like, God, please tell me what am I supposed to tell her. And God's voice told me to tell her to repent. And I was like, what? I can't tell her that. So I was standing in the kitchen, and Kim was looking at me. She's like, you got something to say. And I was like, how do you know? And she's like, you just look like you have something to say. So I said, it's to your friend. I said, this is not for me. This has got to be from God, because I would not say this to you. And God told me that you're supposed to repent. And she was like, okay. And 5 minutes later, she broke down crying. She said, I know why I'm supposed to repent. I was going to go get an abortion today and kill that baby. And God took that baby away from her to save that baby. It wasn't the devil. It was God that took that baby. So God's voice is real, but you've got to be, you know, on fire for God, and you got to be close to God, and you'll really hear his voice. Some people pray in different spots. I mean, I hear God's voice in the shower, but I know that I hear his voice loud.
Yeah.
when I'm on fire for God, and I know I'll be on fire for God again, and I just can't wait till that happens.
Amen. Thank you, God. I know. I appreciate that. And it's a good example that sometimes a prophetic word is a hard word, but it's still encouraging. There's still comfort. You know, that's what it says, that it should be comforting, encouraging, and edifying. I think we've heard from people we need to hear from today, because it's just a start. And I just encourage you this morning that if there's something that God is speaking to you about, it's a good time to come to the front. And there's lots of steps. You can get on the knees, or you can just get on your knees by your chair and just say, yes, Lord, yes. I will be obedient. I will do what you want me to do, God. So if that's what the Spirit of the Lord is moving, if that's how he's moving in your heart. I know, you know, there's more people who want to talk. We're going to talk. We're going to have more opportunities for that, okay? But I want to make sure we get time to minister. So. Thank you, God. I'm trying to listen to you, God. Kathleen, what do you want to say? Stand up. Okay. Okay. I would love to see that happen. So if you're still struggling with that, who's been set free from smoking in the last year or two? Just the last couple of years. Would you guys come to the front and pray for people who want that same thing to happen? Would you do that? Just come up right now. Yeah. It's time. It's time, right? If you want to be set free from smoking, what a great thing to have happened. Let's worship God and just come for ministry, come for prayer. We're going to sing the song that goes, who can know your ways? Who can understand you? Your ways are more marvelous than I can understand. It's God's way. So just worship God. Who can know your ways? Who can understand you? Your ways are more marvelous. I can understand. Who can know your thoughts? Who can understand you? How precious are your thoughts to me? When I'm close to you, let's stand. Worship God. Worship you. I worship you. Your ways to me are marvelous. So I worship you. Yes, I worship you. I worship you. Your ways to me are marvelous. So I worship you. So let's do that dance. Let's really worship him. Who can know?
Who can know your ways? Who can understand your ways are more marvelous than I can understand. Who can know your thoughts? Who can understand you? How precious are your thoughts to me when I'm close to you? So I worship you. I worship you. Your way. So I worship you. I worship you.
Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his eternal peace. Amen.
Amen.
Go and be obedient. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who can know
your way?
Who can understand you? The way to God. Who can understand your thoughts? Who can understand you? A precious thought of your thoughts to me when I'm close to you. I worship.
worship you.
Thank you.